I have a teaching this morning. So let me just give you a upfront notice here. The subject matters, right at first, it's a little rough. It's like, whoa, I don't like this topic. But it ends well. So hang in there. It's just truth. It's just our Jesus teaching. I wish he was here instead of me, but it is Jesus. And so he's got some good things to say here in Mark chapter 9, and that's what I want to teach this morning. Mark chapter 9, verse 42 is where I'll begin. I'd really encourage you to grab one of them Bibles in front of you if you don't have one. You need to follow what I'm saying, make sure I'm checking me out, you know. Test me a little bit here. So in Mark chapter 9, verse 42, you see probably in your Bible you have a little subtitle that says, Temptations to Sin. And that's probably, I mean, that's true, right? But what I want you to see, and it'll help in your own thinking of this, is that this paragraph from 42 to the end is really somewhat in a comparison or a contrast to the four or five verses right above it. And again, we have a subtitle, and so that kind of divides it up in our mind. But it really wasn't. In verse 39, it says, 38, the disciples came to him and said, hey, we saw this guy, he's not one of us, and he was doing these great works in your name, and we tried to get him to quit, right? And he wouldn't. And Jesus said, don't make him quit. Whatever he does great work in my name. He won't soon thereafter be able to speak bad about me. He'll know it's me. So that's that conversation, verse 39. Don't stop him. No one who does a mighty work in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me, for the one who is not against us is for us. Notice the comparison now, or the contrast. That guy was doing mighty works, but now in verse 41, for truly I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will by no means lose his reward. So there's a little comparison contrast going on there. This guy was doing mighty works, and, you know, simple, and this is something we do, right? Anyone who just, because you belong to me, you're a Christian, and somebody hands you a bottle of water, I see you're hot, you're out here serving food, you're out here working, you're out here helping. Whatever you're doing for Christ, you're a believer. So here, I just want to give you a bottle of water. It's a hot day. And so he says, from a mighty work to a cup of water, it's good. I see that. I'm going to recognize it. So anybody here, you may not think you're doing these great and mighty things for the Lord, but I would want you to know, if you give a cup of water to another believer who's sweating it out for the Lord, doing something, if you can help, a little word of encouragement, it's not overlooked by the Lord. And so that's what he's saying here. This cup of water, this small thing, is still significant. You won't lose your reward. So, big or little, you are noticed by the Lord. Okay? But the contrast goes on, and it kind of takes a negative spin in verse 42. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. So not only is a little cup of water, you got mighty works and you got a cup of water, and he also then pulls a young one, a young person, and that's exactly what it is, a little one. It's a young person able to believe in Jesus, and he says, this little guy's not insignificant either. You cause this little guy to sin, and it would be better that you were thrown into a lake. So, big, mighty works, prestigious things, cup of water, a kid that believes in Jesus. Jesus says, these are very important things to me, very important things to me. So you see how the contrast is playing out here, the comparison. Verse 43, if your hand causes you to sin, your hand's a small thing, but if your hand causes you to sin, get rid of it, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life, eternal life, crippled than with two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. If your foot causes you to sin, get rid of it, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life lame than with two feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. So we've made a turn. We went from the mighty works to a cup of water to a believer to a believing little kid. Man, just be careful there. Believing little kid, how you don't cause him to be tempted, to stumble, literally. And then he turns it back on us. Instead of causing others, now it's back to us. So you, watch over yourself. If your hand, if your foot, if your eye is tempting you, it's giving you a problem, get rid of it. Get rid of it. It's better that you get rid of it than you thrown into hell. So this idea, I'm going to give you a couple of things here before we get to the real nuts and bolts of this. The idea of this unquenchable fire, hell, Gehenna, Valley of Hinnom, at Jesus' day, Gehenna was figurative for this eternal place of unquenchable fire, and they already knew it. They already understood this whole teaching, so he didn't have to explain it to them. And it's here. If you look at the wording, you see, you understand. We're going into the kingdom of God. We're going into life, or we're thrown into this place of unquenchable fire where the worm doesn't die and the fire isn't put out. So let's think about this just for a minute. Fire in the Bible is the great purifier. Fire is the great refiner, the great tester, it burns, things go into the fire, and what is left is the pure, genuine, valuable. That's just scripture throughout. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul says, I've laid the foundation of Jesus and other people are building on it. And what you build on top of Jesus will be tested by fire. There will be precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. And what's precious and what's good and genuine will remain. And the other stuff will be burned up, right? So 1 Peter, he says in chapter 1 that there's great joy in Jesus, even though now, for this moment, you're going through these various trials, these hard things, and they are testing your faith like fire, so that the genuineness of your faith will shine through. So fire is this great purifier, this great tester. In the Bible, silver and gold, right? You put it into the fire, it burns off the dross. Fire throughout Scripture, the great purifier, purity, even holiness. If you think about Moses in the burning bush, fire in the bush. He looked, but it wasn't consumed. It didn't go out. It was an unquenchable fire. The bush was unquenchable. And he said to Moses, take your shoes off, you're on holy ground. This is holy what I'm going to say to you. I am a holy God, and here is the fire. It's pure and holy. So fire is the great purifying thing of the Bible. It is purity and holiness and the refiner, the tester. Just for fun, I think Mark has the word for unquenchable. It's unquenchable, it says, to the unquenchable fire. Here's the Greek word, asbestos. Isn't that crazy? True story. A piece of asbestos is unquenchable by fire in our day and age. We use asbestos to retard fire, correct? But the unquenchable fire, the fire that is not consumed or go out, is asbestos. So pretty interesting stuff there. This fire does not go out, and the worm does not die. Life does not end in this unquenchable fire. So let me give you another perspective on heaven and hell. So we are either going into the kingdom, life, heaven is typically, or hell. Many of us don't even like this concept, but it's here. Jesus taught it. And fire is the purifier. So let me just suggest you look at it this way. 2 Peter says that one day this planet will be burned up by fire. One day this planet will be dissolved, and there will be a new heaven and earth come down, and we will live in purity back to the Garden of Eden, so to speak. And you and I that have been purified by the blood of Jesus, totally forgiven of all our sins, purified before Him, we will go to the new heaven and the new earth. We'll be with Jesus forever because of the blood of Jesus, the purifying, forgiving blood of Jesus. Those who don't go there go to the unquenchable fire, and they live in purity for eternity as well. But since they rejected the purifying blood of Jesus, they will step into eternity and be purified forever another way with the purifying fire, the unquenchable fire, where the worm never dies, the body never dies, and the fire never goes out. Purified and purified. We don't go into eternity unpurified. Everyone goes into eternity purified one way or the other. So by His grace and love and mercy, He gives us so much opportunity now. Just skip all that. Come to Me. My blood will wash away everything. I want to make you pure and holy in My sight. I want you to come and be with Me. I don't want that. And Acts tells us that many, many reject that and judge themselves unworthy of the kingdom. So look at it that way. We're all going to eternity purified one way or the other. And we preach a gospel that says, please, please, please come to Jesus and be purified with His cross and His blood. That's the message. But the next verse is so interesting. So interesting. If fire is this great purifier, this refiner, it refines us, it refines the works we do, it refines the church. Verse 49, for everyone will be salted with fire. Stop right there. Everyone, wherever you're going, you will be salted with fire. Not thrown into the fire, salted with the purifying fire. Sprinkled, right? We would say sprinkled. So you got salt, and I could break into an hour on salt, because salt back then was so different than this. But salt, you know, a little's good, a lot not so good. But salt, you know, sprinkled, salted, everyone will be salted with a little fire. And so many of us in this room are kind of being salted. I mean, our hearts are broken. Our bodies are broken. Our lives are hurting. We have things. There's a little salting, a little thing going on with the salt of fire. It's interesting. He was salted with fire. Every life here will be salted, a little fire. So Mark's got some pictures for us, and I spent a little time yesterday around the grill, and so I wanted to show you these pictures. And so I'm roasting some peppers there. You have on the left just a bell pepper, in the middle a big sweet yellow banana pepper, and on the right a poblano pepper, and on the bottom a jalapeno pepper. And so what I'm doing is I am kind of what you might call salting them with fire. You see, it's not burned up. There's just some nice little char marks there. It's just kind of what they call roasting them over an open fire. So you see that yellow one up there. It's not burned up at all. It's just a mark here and there, you know, just sprinkled. Okay, next picture. Got another one. Yeah, see, a little bit more. A little char action there. And then the next picture, this is where I'm going with this. Just some amazing pico de gallo roasted with all these peppers and tomatoes and onions and things. And so I have this roasted pico de gallo going on there. Now, that little bit of salting with fire roasting, we would say, man, does it add flavor. Does it add this roastiness to this pico de gallo, right? But something that maybe only a few of you that are on the level of chefhood that I am, maybe only a few of you that have reached this level know that little roasting brings out a sweetness in these peppers. It brings the sugars in them out, and it just adds a sweetness to that bowl of goodness. I took the onions, and I sliced them into little steaks, and I did the same thing with them. I put them on the grill and just put them nice black little chars on there. Man, did those onions get sweet. And so when I cut this whole thing up and we put it in there, mixed this up, we were eating sweet and hot at the same time, and it was crazy, wasn't it? It's good. Could I suggest to you that as you and I go through life together and we are salted with fire, it is adding flavor and it is adding sweet and it is going to be combined with all the other events in our life and it's really going to enhance our lives. And so the very next phrase that he says is what? Salt is good. Salt is good. Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good. But if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? So our lives, we have this salt, the salt of fire. Not too much, just enough, at God's control, just enough. You turn it over a little bit, you char the other side. You don't want it to burn up too much, but you just get it charred just a little bit. And it's good. And it's good. I don't know what you're going through right now, and quite honestly, I can't relate to some of it. Now, Christy, I don't know how your tests went or how they're going, but I know Christy's going through it. She's got tests going on, and there's just heartbreak and cancer and things, shootings, as if we needed more. Could I say, just give it to Jesus. He's in control. He's He's going to use it. He's going to enhance the flavor of your life. He's going to bring something out when you mix it in with the rest of life and your brothers and sisters in Christ. It's not just burnt. Man, does it bring beauty to the taste of who you are. Sweetness, even. If you can even imagine sweetness. Salt is good. Salt is good. But if it loses its saltiness, if we just take these moments and we just kind of get rid of them as quick as we can, if we just kind of throw them out, if there's no value in it, if there's no lesson in it, if there's nothing in it of any value to us, what good is it? I mean, it's just fire. It's just pain. And he's promising us that it's good. And so he says, have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. Be at peace. Sometimes when we're in the fire a little bit, we can blame you and you and you. It's your fault. It's you. Why didn't you? And why didn't you? And why didn't you? Be at peace with one another. Don't start pointing fingers. Have a little salt in yourself. Have a little flavor. Have a little fire. Take care of yourself. Purify yourself. Look inside yourself. If you do it, if you put a little fire in yourself, char a little bit, purify a little bit, you'll add flavor to your own life. Well, that smoky, roasty, sweet thing going on, you'll help yourself a lot just by having a little fire in yourself and being at peace with the brothers and the sisters. Because actually, we need each other. We don't need to be snarking at each other. We need each other. We're all going to go through it. We're all going to be salted with fire someday. So how do I have salt in myself? I'm just going to give you one answer, one way. There's probably many, but I'm going to give you one. And that's in Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Verse 9. How can a young man or young woman or young at heart, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts. I will fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes, and I will not forget your word. How can a young man keep his way pure? Guarding it according to your word. Guarding it according to your word. Have a little fire, little purity in yourself. Have a little something going on in there that will so enhance your life, so enhance the flavor. You can start with the word. You can start with the purity of God's word. Man, I love this passage. I'll meditate on it. I'll fix my eyes on it. Rather than gouging my eye out, if it causes me to sin, my eye will be on your word. I'll be speaking the rules of your mouth rather than speaking the trash that I hear all around me. I'll be meditating on it. I'll be thinking about your word rather than thinking about everything else. It's so harmful. My delight, man, will I find joy and delight in your word rather than things that could cause me to stumble or tempt me. Your word takes on this sweetness when the fire of your word is inside of me. Just sprinkling, just salting. Just purifying here and there, a little, psh, little singe, a little thing. Man, does it add some sweetness. And your word becomes my delight even more than wealth and riches. I can't wait. I can't wait to get in there, jump into a bowl of that goodness. We can start there. Everyone here has a Bible, and I'm pretty sure everyone here can read. And just meditate on it. Help yourself. Help yourself. And you know what? We got to help each other. So I want to conclude this little teaching by this. So I'm just going to ask right now. I'm going to ask Katie if you'd stand. And Christy, would you come up here? I want to pray for you. I want to pray for these folks. Martha, come on up, man. I want to pray for you. Is anybody else? There's some salting of fire going on in your life right now. And it hurts. It hurts. It's not easy. I'm not saying it is. These are my brothers and sisters. These are my friends. Clayce, get up here. It's my sister. I want to pray for you. Because salt is good. Salt is good. And we're all going to be there. And we need each other. So let me pray for these folk. Lord, these ladies are going through it right now. These ladies are going through the fire. They're on the grill. Lord, they have hurt. And I pray for them. If you say it's good, Lord, we trust you to make it good. We give it to you as good. I ask you to walk them through, to hold them up, to give them strength, to give them wisdom, to purify their heart and their life, to make it taste sweet when they look back and they see you. May it be sweet. And may they praise you at the end of the day for the fire that they're going through right now. My heart goes out to them. My heart is broken for them. The fear and the pain they're feeling is real. Lord, you're the only one. You're the only one who can heal and purify. So I ask your blessing on them. I ask your blessing on them. Through the cross of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Sometimes you're so hurting, it's hard for your mind to wrap around the word. It's hard for your mind to go where it should go. And so each other, we hold each other up, and sometimes we speak the word into each other's life. That's good too. Through the word and in the word and in this fire, God will show you who you really are. He will really bring out the sweetness and the flavor of who you are as a person. I think there are times I haven't even known myself who I was. And the fire brought out something I never saw, whether good or bad. But this little bit of fire brings out flavors I didn't even know were there. Brings out need, brings out weakness. But it's good. It's good. When we live at peace with each other and rely on each other, oh, it's so good. So good. We are so blessed to have this family of believers to hold each other up. We love each other. I love you. I want to help. So whatever we can do, please be sure and let us know, will you? Debbie, would you come up and close? The Word of God and the body of Christ are two eternally valuable assets that the Lord has given us. Take advantage of those. We will all be sprinkled, salted with fire. But salt is good. Salt is good. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the body of Christ. We hold each other up. We build each other up. And Lord, may we hold tight to one another as we are salted with fire. But the flavor is oh so good from your body, the church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Have a good day.